So the Gemara now asks here on Daf Lamed Hey Amud Aleph, is Zayis Tzad Mizbech Asi? In other words, the reason why the products of the olives require a bracha is because of their special status of Tzad Mizbech, that from the olives you make oil, and then you take the oil and you make and you use that in a mixture with the solus of the menachos in order to make a shemen. You make it blula b'shemen. He says, v'abehejik siv be'kerem. You know, if you're saying that the word kerem is the source for the chiyuv bracha, then olives, no less than grapes, are called kerem d'chsiv, because the Torah says in Parsha Shoftim, it says, v'yav'er eish balapidim, v'yishalach bakamos plishtim, v'yav'er migadish, v'ad koma, v'ad kerem zayis. So this is a pasuk, I think, in Tanakh, and it seems to indicate that zayis is also called a kerem. It means that zayis is bichlal kerem. And when we hold that there's a mitzvah of revai in the product of the fourth year, then it includes not only the product of the vine, but it also includes the product of the olive grove, the olive trees. And if that be the case, then if we're going to derive from kerem, and the pasuk says hilulim, that you have to have a bracha lefaneha, then kerem would include even olives. Omar papa kerem zayis ikri, aval kerem stoma lo ikri. In other words, if you add the word kerem as a descriptive term to zayis, then it's called kerem zayis. But when you talk about kerem in general, the word kerem, if you don't add the word zayis, then it means mistoma, the product of the grapes, of the vine. So that's called kerem, and that's chayv in revai. And we can't learn from one particular case where the Torah says kerem zayis that whenever it says kerem, it means zayis, because that's the exception to the rule. The rule is that kerem in general, stam, only refers to the vineyard, and the products of the vineyard are chayev in revai. So we're not going to derive a chiyuv bracha from hilulim, which it says in the parash of kerem, meaning of revai, and therefore we need to add to it the tzad mizbeach. But mikomakom kasha malat tzad hamizbeach shovel bohem sheish bohem tzad mizbeach. In other words, how are we going to derive a chiyuv bracha on anything else other minim that do not have a tzad mizbeach? In other words, right now we're limited to five species of grains plus yayin and shemen, all of which have a tzad mizbeach, but we cannot derive other species. How do you know that they are chayv in a bracha? El di yolif mishivas haminim. Because the Torah says in Dvarim Perek Ches, when it counts the shivas haminim, it says, v'achalta v'savata uberachta. So we can derive from the smichus haparshios, that just like it says, the Torah describes Eretz Yisrael with its the beauty, Eretz Chita, Saora, Geffen, Vitena, Rimon, Eretz Eish, Shemen, Advash, the seven species. And immediately afterwards, the Torah says, v'achalta v'savata uberachta. So therefore, we're going to make the following equation, that just like the Shivas Aminim describe the beauty of Eretz Yisrael, the unique nature of Eretz Yisrael, the Torah says, v'achalta, you'll eat from the land, and you'll make a bracha. So it means that all Shivas Aminim are chayev in a bracha. And from Shivas Aminim, now we're going to derive everything else. Why? Because Mash Shiva Samina, what's unique about the seven species, Dovrish and Nene? He gets Hana from eating from these seven species, Viton Bracha, and the Torah requires a Bracha. Af Kol Dovrish and Nene, Ton Bracha. So that the Hana generates a Chiv Bracha, and many Rishonim actually hold that in the case of Shiva Saminim, the Chiv Bracha, after you enjoy the Shivas Aminim is Minat Torah. Some say this is only Nesmachta, this Smichus HaParashios, and therefore the Chiyuv is only Durabbanon. And it comes out now that the Gemara wants to derive from Shivas Aminim that anything that gives you Hana requires a Bracha. Unless we can find something unique, a unique mitzvah in Shivas Aminim, and that's what the Gemara is going to do now. Ma'ala Shivas Aminim, Shekein Chayovim Bibikurim, that with regard to Shivas Aminim, we have a mitzvah of Bikurim, that when a person has a field, he has to bring the first fruits that grow in each particular year to Yerushalayim, and he does Hatnufa in the Azara, and then he reads an entire parish in which he thanks Hashem for the chesed of the land and the peros of the land, and he gives the Bikurim to the Kohanim. And the law of Bikurim is that it only applies to Shivas Aminim. And this is a mission at the very beginning of Bikurim. And the Gemara in Menachos derives this from the fact that in the parasha of Bikurim, the Torah says, Ki basi el ha'aretz. And we have a gzera shava aretz aretz from Shivas Aminim, right? Because in the pasuk Eretz Chita Siora, the Torah mentions Eretz in the context of Shivas Aminim. And here in the parasha of Bikurim, the Torah says, Ki basi el ha'aretz. And therefore the Torah teaches us through this Gzereshava that Bikurim only apply to Shivas Haminim. V'od, and furthermore, the Gemara asks a more fundamental question here. You're deriving a bracha lefaneha from the pasuk V'achalto V'savato Be'rachta, right? Because we saw Shivas Haminim, and right after Shivas Haminim, the Torah says V'achalto V'savato Be'rachta, but that's Hatenach Li'achrev, that's only a bracha L'achreha. But lefanel, lefan of minayin, how do you know that before you eat something you have to make a bracha? Gemara says that's not a question. Holo kasha, the asa b'kavla chomer. Im kshu saveh mevarek, kshu roev lo kolshkein. If he's hungry, for sure he has to make a bracha. That's even more profound than someone who's already satiated. So again, just to summarize, until this point, the Gemara wants to derive the chiyuv bracha from its tzad hashava. And this is all according to the Man D'Yomer who says Kerem Ravai, that the mitzvah of Ravai, where it says Hilulim, is applicable only to Kerem. And that's derived, if you hold, from a Gzera Shava. And according to that particular Deya, then you would not be able to learn the Chiyuv Bracha for all Paras from Hilulim in the Parasha of Ravai, because this pasuk is only referring to Kerem only. If you hold on the other hand Netter Ravai, and this Parasha of Hilulim refers to all Paras of Ilan, then for sure you could derive the Chiyuv Bracha from Hilulim for all Paras of Ilan. So the Gemara now says, V'afle mandit toni Netter Ravai, even if I hold that the Drosh of Hilulim in this Parasha and this parasha of Netter Ravai, the mitzvah of Netter Ravai, replies to all netiyos, not just to Kerem. Hatenach kol dvar netiya. It makes sense that anything that you plant is chayv a bracha, because it's all included in the netter. But what about lav bar netiya, something that doesn't grow from the ground, like you could go and basar or beitz in the dogim? So you have the flesh of the animals, or fish, or eggs. These are not included in Netter Ravai. They don't grow from the ground, and therefore the parasha of Hilulim would certainly not generate a Chiyuv Bracha. There would not be a source of a Chiyuv Bracha. So at this point, the Gemara is coming to the conclusion that whether or not we hold like the Man D'Yomer Kerem Ravai, or whether or not we hold like the Man D'Yomer Netter Ravai, we really don't have a source for the Chiyuv Bracha in Shar Minim, and anything beyond the parasha of Ravai, where it says Hilulim, Elo. So Gemara finally concludes, after this very long pilpul, that svarahu, that the chiv to make a bracha before you eat something is based on a svara. And what is that svara? Asu lo liyadam yeshayahenem in olam hazeh below bracha. That a person should not benefit from this world without first thanking Hashem, who created this all this food and all this plenty that we could eat. Now, I want to point out here that many Rishonim hold that based on Svara, we could also derive the Bracha L'Achreha, Why? Because if you were satiated by God's plenty, then certainly you should express your gratitude and thank Hashem for that. And the Torah says, the David HaMelech says, until Lashem Ha'aretz Meloah, everything belongs to Hashem. We're going to see this a little bit later on in the Gemara. And you have to ask Hashem for Rishus to benefit from His world, because it all belongs to Him. And the Svara is that you need a bracha. However, that Svara can only be meaningful as far as the bracha lefaneha. Because once you've made the bracha lefaneha, who says that you have to make a bracha lachreo? You can't derive it from Lashem Ha'aretz Meloah. You know, you're not asking for Rishus from Hashem who owns that you've already eaten. And if that be the case, then when the Gemara says Minan Imili, it's really focused on the bracha lefaneha. Because according to many Rishonim, the bracha lachreha doesn't need any source other than v'achalta v'savata v'irachta. So the maskona would be, therefore, that the chiyuv bracha is derived from svara, and the pasuk of Hiluim in the parasha of Ravai is going to be an asmachta, meaning we don't need it really as a source. But here there are many Rishonim who say that the Lamaskonas HaGemara, the Brocha Achrona, is Doraisa, and the Brocha Rishon is only Derabbanan, except for the cases of Shiva Saminim, which we saw was a Smichus HaParashis Tevachalta V'Savato Be'Rachta. So which bracha achrona is chayv min haTorah? So one school of thought would say that all brachos generate a bracha achrona midrabbanan and only midrabbanan, except for the exception would be Shiva Saminim, because the Torah says after mentioning the Shiva Saminim, v'chalta v'savata v'rachta. However, the Beis Yosef in our Chaim Simon Reish test derives from the Rambam that even Shiva Saminim is not a chiyuv bracha lachreya min haTorah, and even though there is a smichus haparshios, but nevertheless that's not enough to establish a chiyuv doraisa. And the argument goes that if the bracha on Shiva Saminim lachreya would be doraisa, then why don't we recite the entire Birchas Hamazon, all shalosh brachos, like we do in the case of lechem? We only bless what's called me'ein shalosh. So that's a discussion about bracha lachreya min haTorah. Tanur Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa, asur lo liadam sheyena min haolam hazeh b'lo bracha, kol hanena min haolam hazeh b'lo bracha ma'al. Now this is a fascinating Gemara, because the Gemara is saying that if you benefit from this world without a bracha, you violate the Issa Me'ila, which means that Lashem Ha'aretz Meloah, as we said before, and the Gemara is going to explicate this in just a minute, that the status of the world and everything within it is Hegdesh. It all belongs to Hashem. Lashem Ha'aretz Meloah. So therefore, if you benefit from this world without the proper permission, then you're basically stealing from Hegdesh. And stealing from Hegdesh, Gzeilas Hegdesh, is called Me'ilah. So it means that if the world belongs to Hashem, it has a din of Hegdesh, if you benefit from this world, then you're benefiting from Hegdesh. So what does it mean? So how do you benefit from this world? Maitakanta. So how do you resolve the problem of Me'ilah? Yelech Eitzel Chacham. What does that mean, Yelech Eitzel Chacham? Ma'avidleh. What's the Chacham going to help him? How is he going to mutake in the Yisur Me'ilah? Ha'avidleh Yisur. He's violating the Yisur Me'ilah. Ela Amar Rava Yelech Eitzel Chacham Meikara. Meikara means not after he ate, and he wants to do a takana for the avera meila that he can't do, but Yilamdenu Bracha. So he goes to the Chacham Meikara before he eats, and the Chacham is going to teach him the brachos. Kidei Shelo Yavol Lidei Meil, to prevent him from violating the Issur Meila. Amar Rav Yehuda Meshmul Kol Hanena Min Olam Hazeh Lo Bracha Kilu Nena Mikodshei Shamayim. So we'll have to see exactly what Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Shmuel is adding to the Braisa, because the Braisa already said that kol hanena min olam hazeh b'lo bracha ma'al. But what's the kilu nena mikodshei shamayim? And he derives it from the pasuk shenemar Lashem Ha'aretz Meloah. You see that the Aretz itself belongs to Hashem, And therefore, he's being nena, he's benefiting from Hegdesh, from something that's Kodshi Shomayim. So he asks the question here in the footnote, Machide Shmuel. We have it already in the Brisa that he's a Moal. Now, it could be that Shmuel is only coming to add the Pasuk. But the Tzlach, the Not Vihuda, says that Shmuel is coming to explain what the Brisa means. When the Brisa says that he's nene below Brocha and he's Moal, the Brisa uses the term Moal, but what is the meaning of Moal? For example, the word Moal could mean, in the case of what's called konamos, like if you take a neder and you say, konem, keep yourself alive, and then you eat the kikar, that's also a chiyuv me'ila. So Shmuel wants to tell us that me'ila in this context, what the Brisa has in mind is nene mikodshi shamayim. He's being nene from Kodshi Shemayim. And that's the specific meaning of the word Moal here in this context. Rabbi Levi, very famous Gemara, Rabbi Levi Rami, he asks a kash uksiv, it says, Lashem Aretz Moloa. That means the Aretz belongs to God. Uksiv, but it says, Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem Va'aretz Nasan Livnei Adam, which implies that the land was given to man. So how do you reconcile this contradiction? Kashik Khan. Kodem bracha, and if you turn to Lamed Hayam and Beis, Kan li achar bracha. So when the Torah says Lashem Aretz Meloa, that's before you recite the bracha. But Kan, when the pasuk says Aretz Nasan Livnei Adam, that's after the bracha. When the Torah, when Hashem gives you Rishus to be Nenem in Aretz, that's after the bracha, and therefore it's Aretz Nasan Livnei Adam. So basically, you could say that the bracha itself is a pidyon, just like in Hegdesh we have a din of pidyon, and that's going to be matir the Hegdesh lahanos adam. So too, the bracha is matir the hanos adam. And why do we have to be matir? Because everything is Hegdesh, it's Hashem Aretz Meloah before the bracha, so now you have to recite the bracha in order to gain possession and have license to benefit from this world. And basically, all of this world is subject to gzela. You know, it's anything you benefit from this world, you're a thief if you don't make a bracha, because it all belongs to Hashem. I mean, that's a deep moral concept. God owns the world. My Rebbe Rav Salvation used to say, why does God own the world? Because He created the world. Anyone who creates something owns the product of His creation. And that's what we call in Choshen Mishpat, that's called a kinyan maisa yodayim, that when somebody creates something, it belongs to him. God is the maker, He's the creator, and everything belongs to Him. So if we take the world and we benefit from it without asking Rishus, it's misappropriating the possession of God, meaning of Hegdesh. And it's interesting that the Gemara derives this from the Pasuk in Tehillim, Lashem Haaretz Meloah. The word Lashem, generally speaking in Shas, means Hegdesh. When you want to be Magdish something, you say Lashem Ola, Lashem Chatas, Lashem Shlomo. And Lashem Ha'aretz Meloah. Everything in the Aretz and within the universe is Lashem. Now it's interesting that when it says Nenem and Olam Hazeh, you need a certain kind of Hanoah. It's not every Hanoah. For example, if I go to Italy and I see the Mona Lisa, which I didn't care for the Mona Lisa so much, but if let's say I would benefit from seeing the Mona Lisa, I don't have to make a bracha on that. If I wake up in the morning and I see the sunrise, or in the evening the sunset, and at night I see the stars, I don't make a bracha for that. There are certain things in nature that I do make a bracha for, if I see a rainbow, but in general, there are many things that a person benefits from, and he doesn't make a bracha. Now, some people say that if you see the smile on your child or your grandchild, you should be making a bracha, and it's probably true. But we talk about hanah in a davar sheyesh bo mamish. Reach is going to be the only exception to this rule. We make a bracha on reach because kol neshama talka, and that's going to be a gemara later on. But in general, any hanah she'ein bo mamish, like re'ia or shmia, I hear things, I see things, I benefit from the seeing and the hearing, I don't make a bracha on. I need something physical, tangible. That's called nenem in olam hazeh. Omer Rabbi Chanina bar Papa kol nenem in olam hazeh b'lo bracha ki ilu gozel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like he's stealing from the Almighty. And here you have machlokas, how to interpret. Are you stealing the object that you eat? That's called, the Marsha says, gozel samachol sha'ochel. But Rashi seems to indicate that that what is he stealing? He's stealing the bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning, you know, if you're nenev in olam hazeh, you owe Hashem a bracha. Now you're stealing God's bracha. That's how Rashi interprets it. Shegozel me Hashem es banav al yedei shegarim lacherim lachto. There's another interpretation that that if you eat without a bracha, then it has an impact on those around you, and that's going to bring them to chet, that separates them from Hashem. But the simple pshat here in this gemara is either that it's you're stealing the bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or you're stealing the ochel which belongs to Hashem, which is hegdesh, and that's me'ilah, which is gzela of hegdesh. The Gemara says, "Ki gozel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in addition, he's gozel Knesset Yisrael. He is somehow stealing from the entire people, the nation of Israel, the Peros. Why? Because the pasuk says, 'Shenemar gozel aviv ve'imo, fi'omer ein pesha, chaver hu le'ish mashchis.' The pasuk in Mishlei." If somebody doesn't make a bracha and he steals from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and from Knesset Yisrael and he says Ein Zeh Pesha, this is not any sort of rebellion or act of a crime, because he wants to be makil. He says, you know what, look at other people. They're not careful about brachas. So he becomes a Chavar L'Ish Mashkes. The Ish Mashkes is the person who has an impact, a negative impact on others, on the rabbi. And that's what we said, that Ki Ugozel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, U Knesset Yisrael. It's like he's stealing from Knesset Yisrael because he's having such an impact. When he doesn't make a bracha, then they're going to be sitting on these payros, and they're also, if they don't make a bracha, they're going to be stealing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he's having an impact on Klal Yisrael. But we see from Rabbi Hanina that a person who's nene below bracha is, number one, he's gozel from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number two, he's gozel from Knesset Yisrael. And his status in terms of his relation to Knesset Yisrael as a person who influences them is the mashkes. It's like the ish mashkes. Now in the pasuk it says gozel aviv ve'imo. What's the pshat aviv ve'imo? And it seems like aviv ve'imo is a reference, is an allusion to God and to Knesset Yisrael. God is aviv shebashamayim and Knesset Yisrael is like a mother. So the pasuk at the end of the Chumash indicates that God is called Avicha. Vein imo el Knesset Yisrael shenemar, very famous pasuk in Mishlei. Shma b'ni musar Avicha ve'alti tosh toras imecha. And what does it mean, alti tosh toras imecha? And he's saying that if you observe the Torah, whether it's the Torah Shebichsav, the Torah Shebal Peh, which was given through Moshe Rabbeinu, Al titosh toras umasecha. Imecha means umasecha. Your mother means your nation. It means Knesset Yisrael. And when it says Al titosh mi toras imecha, this Torah refers also to the Drabbanon. So we've covered the entire gamut. We have Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebal Peh, which was given through Moshe Rabbeinu, and Al Titash Torah Imecha, which is Knesset Yisrael, and that Torah refers to Divrei Sofrim, which means the Siyogim and the Gdarim and the Gzeros of the Rabbana. But you see clearly that Knesset Yisrael is called a mother. And if Knesset Yisrael is called a mother, we go back to the pasuk in Mishlei that says Gozel Aviv Ve'imo. He's stealing from Knesset Yisrael. The Gemara goes on to interpret this pasuk in Mishlei that says Chaver Hu Le'ish Mashkes. My Chaver Hu Le'ish Mashkes. Om Rab Chanina Bar Papa. Chaver Hu Le'Yeravim Ben Nevat. The Ish Mashkes here is Yeravim Ben Nevat. Shehishkes Es Yisrael Avim Shebashamayim. That he caused the people of Israel, he was what's called a chote u machti, he was machti as Yisrael. And again, if people learn from you, if you become a negative dugma, a negative example for other people to be mekel in brachos, then you become not only a choti, but you're also a machti, and you become a chaver to the paradigmic case of a choti machti, which is Yeravam ben Nevat. And he has here a footnote that Yeravam ben Nevat was machti is Yisrael be'avodah zara, and he prevented them from making aliyah l'regel. All this is in Melachim Aleph. And the reason why...
This is the point at which the Melucha is split, right?
Yeah. But why did the Gemara want to compare a person who's careless about brachas to Yeravam ben Nevat? I mean, you could talk about any avera. But the answer is that the inyan of bracha, and this is explained by the Marsha, is lahashrish amuna b'Hashem, that we should have a very strong, profound relationship to the belief in God, that everything belongs to God. And we find that with regard to Avraham Avinu, he taught his archim, his guests, to make a bracha before they would eat, and that would again would penetrate into their mind, into their hearts, the amuna b'Hashem. But if somebody doesn't make a bracha, and he refuses to teach or to circulate the amuna b'Hashem, then even though he's violating an isur b'shevi altas, and the Torah says, nevertheless, he's considered a chaver to Yeravam ben Nevat, who is mekalkel amuna, he undermines amuna b'Hashem b'kuv v'aseh, by actively having the people worship Avodah Zorah, as the Pasuk says, Gam Misrapi v'molachto achu lebal mashkis, which means that if somebody does something b'shevi altas, say he's also like a mashkis, he's also like someone who's mekalkel b'yadayim. So the Chiddush here, equating the person who is careless about bracha to Yeravam ben Nevat, is that even though being careless for a bracha is only shevi altas, but nevertheless you're considered like Yeravam ben Nevat, akum v'aseh. And you're touching and undermining emuna, which is what the brach is all about. That's why brachos belong to Seder Zeraim, because emuna zuzraim, bracha is emuna like zraim. The Gemara now darshins an additional drasha from Rav Chinyan bar Papa. Rav Chinyan bar Papa Rami, he has a question. Ksiv, the pasuk says in Hoshea Hanavi, Lachena shuv lakachti dgani beito v'siroshi b'moado, and it says dgani, which implies that the Dagon is possessed by God. It's Kinyono Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says, V'lakachli Digoni. And then, in contrast, in Kriyat Shema, it says, V'yasavta Digonecha, as if to say the Dagon belongs to you. Lokasha. Kan Bizman Shisrael Osim Ritzono Shal Mokom. V'kan Bizman She'en Yisrael Osim Ritzono Shal Mokom. When the generation of the Jews are dedicated to fulfill the will of God, then the Dagon is considered theirs. And we'll see exactly why, because this is before a bracha, but it says that it's considered theirs. But Khan, when it says Lakati Digani, it's my Dagon, that's Bisman She'en Yisrael Osim Ritzon Shemokom. Then Hashem takes the Dagon back, and he's going to show who's boss. I own the Dagon. Now the Iyun Yaakov points out, as we mentioned earlier, that Tvua in Digun is before the bracha. And we said before the bracha, it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how can we say Digonecha? And he answers that Kshaosim is Ritzon Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then Chazaka, we certainly know, we can assume Bevada Yivarchu, they'll certainly make a bracha. And already at the time of the Digun, it's considered as if it's theirs, anticipating that they will surely make a bracha. Now in the Pasuk, Yasafta Digonecha, which indicates that a person has to do asifa, he has to do some work and harvest his crop in order to have a parnasa. So the Gemara brings a basic machlokes regarding the concept of yasafta digonet. This is a famous machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and the Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. When we learned in the Brisa of yasafta digonet ma Talmud lom, what is this pasuk teaching me? Lefisha Nemer, it says, when Hashem commands Yahushua after the death of Moshe, Lo Yomush Sefer Torah Zemim Pichum Yigisim Bo Yom V'Layla, Yachol Dvarim Kiksovam, Rabbi Shmuel says, should we interpret the pasuk straightforward, which means that lo yomush, that there's no time for anything. You just have to have a sefer Torah and learn the sefer Torah, and don't be osik b'malacha b'parnasa tamad lomar. But then the Torah says v'yasafta diganecha. And what is v'yasafta diganecha teaching me? How do we reconcile that with lo yomush sefer Torah v'vigis v'yom v'alayla hanig b'hen minog derech eretz? That the Torah is telling me that we should be knowing a parnasa malacha. Whatever we need, we can be mevatel from Torah, and it's not called bitul Torah because the Torah itself says, "Hanig bohen minig teretz divrei Rabbi Shmuel." So, in other words, Rabbi Shmuel is advocating that we go out to the fields, we plant, we plow, we harvest, and we're busy with this, you know. But nevertheless, the Torah says, "V'yasaf tigonecha," that you have to get busy with all of that. You can't just say, "Well, I'm going to sit and learn a day and night, and the man is going to fall from Shemayim lo yomush." So Rav Shimon bar Yochai says, wait a minute, you're going out there and you're working the land. Efshar, is it possible? Odom choresh b'shas harish, zoreh b'shas ria, kotze b'shas ktsir, v'dosh b'shas disha, v'zoreh b'shas aruach, is Torah matehe aleha? He's so busy plowing and planting and harvesting, and then after he harvests, he has to winnow the crop. And he's got to do disha and all these different malachas. When does he have time for Torah? He's busy the whole day long and the whole week long in his parnasa and creating a parnasa. So he's working the fields. When is he going to be osik b'Torah? We're giving up on the mitzvah of Torah. I mean, the Torah says v'yigisa b'yom v'layla. Ella, we should reconcile these two psukim, v'yasafta digonecha, with v'yigisa bo in a whole different way, says Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. And that is Bisman Shisrael Osim Ritzonu Shel Mokom. The different kufos, the different generations. If it's a generation where the Jewish people are on the ball, they are fulfilling the will of God. The Malachta Nasis Al Yidei Acherim. In other words, the question that Rabbi Shmuel asked before is Yachol Dvarim Kiksavim. Yeah, in Chinami Dvarim Kiksavim. V'gisa B'yom V'Layla. Why? Because Malachta Nasis Al Yidei Acherim. There are those who will provide for them. Shenemar, it says in Yeshayahu Hanavi regarding the foretelling of the ultimate redemption, the Amdu Zorim Virau Sonchem, Zorim, others which are called Bnei Nechar in the Pasuk, they will get up and they will shepherd your flock. And therefore, the Torah says, Lo Yomash Sefer Torah Zemipicha. That's because Bisman Shosim Ritzonu Shel Mokom. But then there's a different period of time. Ve'ilu Bisman She'ein Yisrael Osim Ritzonu Shel Mokom. In that period of time, Alachta Nasis Al Yidei Atzma. And then the Torah says, V'yasafta Digonecha. You have to do the work yourself. No one's going to do it for you. V'lo Od. And furthermore, El Melechas Acher Nasis Al Yodom. If they're not doing the Ratzon Hashem, then they will be punished, and they'll have to do the work for others. Shenemar, it says in the parasha of the Klolos, in Kitavo, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu cursed the people of Israel if they won't observe the Torah, V'yavadeta es oivecha, you will be subservient and work for your enemies, Omar Abaye. This next line is one of the most famous lines in Shas, and certainly in the Masechta Brachos, Harbe Asuk Rabbi Shmuel. Many followed the, I call it the Torah of Derech Eretz, Rav Hirshian philosophy of being Osek B'Torah, but at the same time being Toreach B'Molacha. Ashrei mi, how lucky is someone who can do both, that his Molacha is also his Torah. The Osa B'Yana. And because the masses of people followed in the footsteps of Rabbi Shmuel, Osa B'Yana, they were successful. But Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, many who tried the method of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and they dedicated themselves exclusively to the study of Torah law, also the Yodin, they weren't matzliah because Torah she'ini malacha sofa v'teila v'goreres ava, and they couldn't survive it. You need Torah with malacha. So Rav Chaim Volozhin is famous for saying in his Nefesh HaChayim that the emphasis here is on the word harbe. Now, if the entire tzibur, as a tzibur, tries to follow in the footsteps of Rav Shimon bar Yochai, that's not going to be successful. But individuals, they could follow Rav Shimon bar Yochai. And the Tzam Sofer is famous for saying that even Rabbi Shmuel, when he says V'yasafta digonecha, he's talking about Eretz Yisrael, because this pasuk is related to Eretz Yisrael. So Mr. Hashem will try to develop that Tzam Sofer another time. I just want to We still have, I think, 2 minutes left. I just want to finish up to the two dots. So we have a complete picture. So Gemara now brings the opinion of Rava that also would follow Rabbi Shmuel. Amalu Rava l'Rabbanon. Rava said to the Chachamim that came to study under his tutelage, Bimatusa minaychu, I ask you as a special favor, the Yomei Nisan, during the month of Nisan, which is the time of the Katsir, of the harvest, the Yomei Tishrei, this is the time of the Drichas Hagitos V'Abadim, as we go to the Beis Abad, and we crush the olives, and we make Shemen Zayis, and we crush the grapes, and we make yain. Lo tischazu kamoi. Don't even show up. Ki heichni lo tirdu b'milosaychi kula shayit. In other words, if you dedicate these 2 months to malacha and you stay home, then you'll have mezonos for the entire year. But if you're not going to do so, you're going to be in trouble the whole year round. And you see that Rava took a very practical, down to earth approach. And the Gemara now clarifies that a person has to be osik b'malacha, but nevertheless his ikar, his primary focus, should be on Torah. The Rama, for example, when he describes the Balabas, he has him 9 hours a day, 3 hours a day of Torah Shmitzav, 3 hours of Torah Shmalper, and 3 hours a day of Talmud, of Gemara. Yeah. You know, how much time does he have for Malacha? So the Iker is Torah. Omar Rabba Bar Brachan, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Bishum, Rabbi Yehuda Rebbe Loi, Bo Ura'e, check this out. That our Doros are not like the original Doros, the Amalek Yarin. Those Doros are Rishonim, Asu Toros and Keva, Umalachtan Aroy. So they put Malach on a secondary level, Zov Zonis Kaim and Yodah. And they had both Torah and Malach. But Doros Achronim, Asu Malachtan Keva, Vitoros on Aroy. They made their malach the ikar, and Torah was secondary. Zuvazulonis came, they weren't successful in either one. So he's praising the Doros Harishonim and Halavai that we should be inspired by the Doros Harishonim. Okay, this is where we'll stop.